has interesting depths and understanding. So the simple way we understand is that we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. We all clearly saw so clearly how the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was our prophet. Then the Torah was given over to Yeshua for one generation to another generation. But, you know, there's another very important concept is that it's not only was it given over, but we follow, you know, the ones who teach us the Torah. It's called the Minas Chachamim. Let's say we follow the Mishneh Brura, we follow the Shulchan Aruch Harav, we follow the halacha points. None of us, an average person, could go into the depths of the halacha, so we accept, and it's expected to us accept, and that's how, you know, the Yiddishkeit was built this way. We accept the authority of the ones who explain, and we accept the psak. The question really comes up in a more spiritual situation. It's like how the leaders helped us grow spiritually. There's the halacha part, which is this permitted in Shabbos? Is not permitted in Shabbos? Am I allowed to carry? Am I not allowed to carry? What am I allowed to? What things am I allowed to rip in Shabbos? What things I'm not allowed to rip? And there's a much more profound, how do we become close to our God? How do we make a relationship? Someone asked me the other day a very simple question. He asked me, you know, it was Yad Kislev, so he's asking me, you know, tell me what Hasidim is all about. That person who is a learned person told him, real Hasidus is how to have a relationship with God. You know, if we don't have the Hasidus with the B'Shem Tov's teachings, our relationship is not with Hashem, our relationship is ourselves. But how do we connect? Just like a husband and wife want to make a good relationship, wants the Shalom Bayis to work well. There's things you need to work well. But you want to have a good friends. That's to be a two-way street. How do we have that's what really Chassidus taught us. How to love Hashem, how to fear Hashem, what to do. And this is really which from generation to generation, we were always blessed by people who wrote and inspired and helped us have a relationship with Hashem, to be close to Hashem. Person could keep all the mitzvahs in the Torah and be so removed from Hashem. He could, you know, get up and he could put on his tefillin and he could keep Shabbos, but he has no relationship with Hashem. He's just a Jewish person. But and the truth is, I often said that it's much easier to keep every chumrah in Pesach than to have a good relationship with Hashem. Having a good relationship with Hashem needs work. Truth is, having a relationship with anyone needs work. Sometimes you need more work than others. Sometimes your Shalom Bayis needs a lot more work to do to make it work. Sometimes it doesn't. But having with Hashem really demands that a person should go out in his way. And through history, we always had great tzaddikim who really helped us. So, you know, I want to explain the parsha just to explain why it was so confusing. See, Yosef was chosen by his father. His father said that Kiben Zekun Hiloi, and he chose him to be sort of the best of his children, taught him everything that he learned and gave it over to Yosef. He saw in Yosef something which he didn't see in the other children. And the truth was, Yosef was incredible, but the brothers sort of were jealous. And this is how many Hasidim explain where it started, that sometimes it's hard for us to believe. It was a brother with his 12, once one among the 12 brothers who had a hard time accepting. It's very possible Yosef is a head taller than all of us. You know, it's always easier to say the generation before us. But one who you're talking to accept him that he is so, this is very hard for many people to accept. But Yosef was the true tzaddik. And what's amazing is Yosef had these dreams. And I want to just first explain the parsha simply. You know, Yosef had these famous two dreams that he's going to be king. First, he had the dream that he had the dream that 11 sheaves all bound down to his. His sheaves stood up and all bound to his. So the brothers accused him, but the truth that he's looking for power, he's power hungry. But the truth was that he was going to be king. So the question comes forward, why did he have this dream if this dream in the end did not help him? In the end, what happened was this dream brought him down because what happened was it was the brothers became jealous. And the answer to this is, you know, the Rebbeinu Shlom taught us a very profound thing. Yosef went through a horrible situation. He was sold into slavery. First they wanted to kill him. They didn't kill him and throw him into a pit. The Medrash says the pit was full of snakes and scorpions. He looked horrible. And then the brothers decided to sell him. So Yosef was sold into slavery. You know how rejected that feeling is on a person? I mean, no one wants me. I'm totally rejected. And the age of 17, which is a very difficult time for boys and for girls, but the boys, especially 17, is a very tough time. They send him. Not only did they sell him, the Medrash says they made a chedem, a curse, that if he contacts his home, he writes a letter home to his father, he's cursed. So it's like sending him to Siberia. I don't want to hear about you. Finally, he settles into the house, and Eishes Potiphar has this crush on him, and she tries everything under the sun to seduce him. I mean, Yosef did not give in an order. Not one day, 12 months, day in and day out, she tried to get his attention. This is incredible strength. And she couldn't get his attention. You know what she does? She screams, "Rapist!" You know, if I cannot have him, no one's going to have him. You know, like you hear the stories in the news. Guys talk so, and if I cannot have him, then I want to kill him. And she wanted him dead. She really wanted him dead. That's why she accused the rape. Mitzrayim, a rapist, is not like in America. Yeah, you get a slap on the thing. And Mitzrayim was, what happened was if a person was a rapist, he got killed. The reason didn't get killed because his owner knew that it's not true. But anyway, so he gets into jail. And it's not like American jail system, but it's a hope to get out. We can have the innocent project people get involved or an appeal court. This was it. And Yosef never gave up. In the jail, he became so favored that the owner, the warden, gave everything over to him. And what's amazing is that even the next Pasha, as he came out of jail, he talked like he was a free person, you know, like a brilliant man, and nothing happened. How did he live such through? And the answer to this is because Yosef had the dream that one day I will become king. Even though it's horrible now. It's just horrible. You know, you have to remember being in the jail. Anyone, I spoke to people in prison. It's unspeakable what goes on there. And Yosef was above everything. Didn't let anything get to him. And the power of happiness, the Medrash says that Yosef kept his happiness, his sanity. This is what kept him going. And this is what Yosef, the Rebbeinu Shlom, put through. See, every person goes through different tests. Yosef's test was a whole. The Medrash says that the test that Yosef at Tzadik had was worse than all the others put together. Being tested this way for 1 year, day in and day out, is unbearable difficult. You know, someone once told me, even more profound, one many years ago, said to me, that he's a therapist, and he said to me, explained it to me, and when I was giving the sheet, and he says he didn't have a mother since he's a young child. Someone doesn't have a mother, always looking for a female companion, needs the mother. His mother died when he was young. He didn't have a mother. And being rejected, and someone is showing you such warmth, such hospitality, wants to be nice to you, it is incredible tempting. You know, it's just, you know, a foreign country, and this lady is trying to be nice to you. She tried everything in the book, and he was able to withstand that. It's incredible strength of Yosef. And then it blows up on his face. He didn't touch her. And she screams, "He tried to rape me." You know, and Medr says, in this, she tried to rape me. Medr says, he says, "He raped me." And the whole thing was, you know how humiliating this is? It's mind-boggling humiliating. And Yosef did not give up. He didn't become depressed. He didn't give up. That's the power of the tzaddikim. You know, like, you know, even though this happened, the mamish do not give up. It's in the Medrash says, also very interesting Medrash. The Medrash says, this week's Parsha, that after the selling of Yosef, Reuven was crying and sitting on his sin. The brothers were crying. Yaakov Avinu was crying. You know what Yehuda did? Yehuda got married. And he had children. And he planted, and Hashem helped him plant the light of Mashiach. What is the Medrash trying to say? The Chassidish Rambam say a very, very important thing. Yehuda represents king. Kingship, Malchus teaches us, which is every tzaddikim have this in them, you got to move on. You cannot stop. See, the normal would be such a tragedy happened, we should all cry and sit and, you know, just be frozen in time, sort of to say. But Yehuda showed, no matter how terrible it is, and maybe we made a horrible mistake, and maybe it's just terrible, life has to move on. That's what Yosef's power was in the prison too. You know, he didn't see a way out in that 1 year, 10 years. You know what someone told me a while ago that, you know, I sometimes go to visit people in prison. Someone told me a while ago that it's a known thing that after 2.5 years, 3 years in prison, it affects people psychologically. This is American prison. You know, Paris prison was a hole in the ground. Pusik says it's a pit, underground pit. No air rights, no exercise rights. And Yosef was never lost himself, because this week's parasha, he comes out of the paroi, he talks to him like he went to university, brilliant man, and tells him what to do, and paroi just was, not just paroi, everyone was astounded of him. You know why this is so fascinating? I always explain this in a very simple way. Can you imagine we would have someone who's arrested and put in prison for life for being a rapist? He's a Russian guy, nothing against the Russians. He could be from Poland, he could be from Bulgaria. Foreigner who is arrested because he raped. And he's sitting in jail, and all of a sudden the president needs to advise something, and we take him out of jail, this foreigner, and we had a rule, and part of the rule in, you know, the constitution in Mitzrayim, that a slave can never have any position. Imagine, there's a rule. And they take him out of prison, ask his advice. In 2 minutes after he's finished his speech, they're so mesmerized at him. Do you know what Paro says? You're going to be king. The only thing is, my throne is going to be bigger than you. You're going to run the country. You can imagine our president say such a thing. He gives it to someone, says, you're going to run out the country. Someone out of prison, a foreigner, accused rapist. We forget that he's a rapist. We forget that he's a foreigner. It's mind-boggling how this could happen. This is the koyach of a tzaddikim had. So Yosef knew, I'm in prison, so what, I'm in prison? This too will pass. We all have this in our own prison. We all have difficult times. We don't know how we're going to go through it. But we watch our great tzaddikim, you know, went through horrible times and rebuild. Let it be Lubavitcher Rebbe, let it be the Satmar Rebbe, let it be many Gedolim after the war, literally, were the leaders to show us who rebuild from the ashes of Auschwitz. Literally. That this has Klal Yisrael as a nation in their soul, and the leaders. This is what the leaders did. There are many people who jumped, figured this is it. You know, many, many people came back from the war, after the war, my parents used to tell me, they thought there's nothing to talk about. And the Gedolim says, yes, there's going to be a besamedrish, there's going to be a shul, there's going to be a kosher food, and there's going to be a mikveh, and there's going to be a Talmud Torah. They showed that no matter how. See, there's two things that happens in life to people. It's the physical torture, and there's an emotional torture. Yosef went through both. First, they sold them as a slave. But being a slave is such a humiliating thing, especially you grew up as a prince. You are a slave there. It's incredibly humiliating. It has such an effect on a person's psyche. And Yosef did not give up. He planted in us, in Klal Yisrael, the power of never giving up. And also the power, which the older Chassidish Rambam say, the power to control temptation. Yosef was tempted beyond. The Medrash says that Matranusa governors told Rabbi Yosef Aglili, I don't believe that a teenager could. I don't believe. So he said to her, our Torah is not a cover-up. It doesn't cover anything. If he would have done something wrong, the Torah would have said it. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said, if he did something wrong, he was called upon. So Yosef, it was an incredible test. According to, I said, the Medrash says is worse than any test on the other side. But he gave this to us. Yosef gave to Klal Yisrael, there's a power to hold back temptation. That's why the Zohar says that because the schus of Yosef at Tzadik, the Klal Yisrael became a nation in the Mitzrayim. Because 90% of the time when people live in a country, they become all a melting pot. I always say, I grew up in Brooklyn. Everyone was religious. The whole community was Holocaust survivors. When I first moved here, I had a neighbor, and he was Jewish. And next, a few weeks later, he introduced me to his sister-in-law. She's an Oriental girl. You know what I mean? And then he tells me himself, who's a very secular, my family, we could have like is like the UN. I said, what do you mean UN? We have everything in our, take a formally portrayed, we have everything. I mean, it is a melting pot. That's how often this was in all, there's always people moved into new places and they became one. The greatness of the Jewish nation was they became a nation. They had to become now. This was like being pregnant. Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim. They had to go once they became a nation. That's a whole different story. But this koyach to make sure that we don't fall into promiscuity, Yosef HaTzadik gave this to Klal Yisrael. This is the koyach of the tzaddikim. And this is, when Yosef comes out and this week's coming parsha, when he tells Parai, that he should put away food. There's going to be 7 good years, 7 hungry years. And Yosef tells him, you have to put away from the 7 good years, 7 bad years. There's a very famous Hasidic explanation about this. If you read the parsha, it's if you count all of them, it comes up to 28. It says 7 and 7 and 7, 4 times 7, which makes it 28. In Kehelis, it's 28 years. It says 7 years. 7 years of 7 cows, and then it says it was 7 good cows, 7 bad cows, 7 good stalks, and 7 bad stalks. If you count them all together, it's 28. And Shlomo Melech says in Kehelis, there's Kuf Ches Itim, 28 cycles of time. There's a time to laugh, a time to cry, time to build, time to destroy, a time to hug, a time not to hug. And it goes through a list of 14 positive, for which is the cycle of life. Sometimes you're, you know, it's a time to mourn, a time to be very happy, time to build, a time to not to build. It goes through this called Kuf Ches Itim. The Zohi says this represents Koyach Masov Higid Le'amoy. Koyach is 28. In the beginning of creation, there's 28 letters in Bereshis Bura Lakim. Koyach Masov Higid Le'amoy. There's 28 cycles of time. And which is this, sometimes you feel great. Sometimes you wake up and you tell yourself, I don't know how I'm going to get out of bed and face the day. Sometimes it could be years that you feel great, and sometimes it comes a time where you feel just terrible and lousy. Especially when you're going through a hard time, especially when, you know, when this, things don't work the well. Let it be a job, let it be the children, let it be parents, let it be... We go through life is not boring. If everything would be everything the same day, I'm telling you, I would think we would go nuts. Imagine every day is the exact same thing. You would get up and the same mood. I mean, we wake up and it's, I call it the Sunday mood. It's the Motzei Shabbos blue mood that many people have. And it's a challenge. We got to get up and face the day and do things that we don't like to do. I mean, that's the bunch again. But there are times where it's great. And at times it's not so great. The times you're happy, and times you're frustrated. So this is what's called Kuvchad. And Yosef was the one who told, who explained the seven good days, seven bad, the seven good, the seven bad. There's 14 positive and 14 negative. It gets divided in the Zohar and much more deeper. But generally speaking, you take the good and you feed yourself in the bad days. When you go through a bad day, you look at yourself, you say, it's not so terrible. This worked out. Sometimes you wake up, and I often say this, that we wake up in a bad mood, we should just close our eyes and think how people lived 60 years ago, or people third world countries. They don't have an iPhone, and forget about FaceTime, and they don't have, you know, they don't have cars, and you know, we are blessed. You know, I always think to myself, if my grandfather would have, someone would have showed him how people are living today, he probably has the picture. We all dance from joy every morning. We don't have to see. My grandparents were wealthy. They had the well inside the kitchen. That was called wealth. Inside the kitchen. Most people had it outside. I don't know why, but that's what it was. But they already were wealthier. They had this well inside. You know, after World War I, when the Jews came to America, I read an article. You know what symbolically wealthy was? A very wealthy person would open the sink and hot water would come out. When they came to America, they just couldn't. Hot water coming out of a sink? How does that happen? They couldn't imagine it. Only the extreme wealthy people have it. Today, if one of the sinks, the hot water doesn't work, we get so agitated. Why didn't you call the plumber? What's going on? And as I say, I once had someone call me up an hour before Shabbos. He says he called the plumber to come. And, you know, he didn't come. Probably he'll come Shabbos. And he said, what's the problem? One of the bathrooms is stuffed. So I said to him, how many bathrooms do you have? And he says, 5 bathrooms. I said to him, so what's the problem? And he answers me with a straight face. He says, you mean the downstairs bathroom is not going to be working for Shabbos? So he says, you have an old parent there? He goes, no, I knew that. He's young, his wife is young, the children are young. But downstairs, the downstairs bathroom is not going to be working. See, we don't appreciate, you know, that it used to be, you know, when I first went to Uman the first time, it was like there was a back house. That's what it was. And it was just terrible. Like, it was just, you know, but we don't appreciate how lucky we really are. So what a person has got to do when he's down is take of the things that do work for him and feed himself. Even though today is a hard day, and this is not working out, and that's not working out, whatever it is, but there's so many good things that are working out. That I'm alive. And I have a challenge. See, a person has to feed himself, look at himself. That's the seven hunger years, seven good years. The seven good years are supposed to feed you, the seven hunger years, because life has its cycle. And the tzaddikim are the ones who were able to help us. They were the ones who, Yosef HaTzadik was the one who showed us the way. This is what the Torah, brings a whole story. You have to remember, but every written story in the Torah, it's not just meant then. It meant then and forever. Yosef taught us that there's such a concept as physical, the story that happened there, and there's a concept spiritually. Sometimes we just don't know how to feed ourselves. Right now, it's not working so well. Think about the good times that you have. Feed your brain. Tell yourself. And the truth is, people tell me, all nursing homes, old age homes, and they tell me, you could tell the difference between older people one from another. A guy told me recently, one of those patients he runs his nursing home, and she wakes up in the morning, she says, I'm still alive. She's so bitter about it. She says, the other one wakes up in the morning, and she says, she notices there's a new flower blooming. And she, wow, and she keeps telling everyone, come to my room, there's a new flower came out. She enjoys the small things. Now, life is not made to enjoy the small things, the flower, but she finds things, because she's in the way situation, to enjoy. The other people, they're bitter. The trick is to feed yourself. This is important for every one of us. This is what really the tzaddikim showed us through generations. No matter how stressed out we are, how far we are, we gotta feed ourselves. Mainly to feed our soul to have a relationship with Hashem. This is the most important thing. If other mitzvahs, but the second part that people forget about themselves, God is with us. And He's active in your life. And not that He's with us, He created us. He made us. I always tell people, none of us chose here how we're going to look, how tall. Imagine a guy's going to take pride that I was born tall. There's nothing to take pride. I was just born. I wasn't asked to be tall. I wasn't asked to be too short. The pride you could take on your personal work. A guy's going to walk around thinking that he was born tall. What is that? It's silly. Not just that. None of us was asked. No one was, told, what type of a power soul we should have. What type of a psychic we'd have. Certain people are strong emotionally. Some are not strong. Certain people suffer from anxiety. Certain people don't suffer from anxiety. We're not told, this is what Hashem gave it to us. This is who we are, and this is what Hashem gave us, and we should embrace it and feed ourselves and be connected to Hashem. So sometimes when I think to myself, we look up to the sun. The sun is unbelievable. It's mind-boggling. The sun, there's 330,000 Earths would fit into the sun. That's how big the sun is. 330,000 Earths would fit into the sun. And the sun was created for us. God put up the sun for us, should give us light, should warm it up, all the good things that the sun gives us. And the sun has no free will. He did not wake up this morning in a bad mood. And he said, you know what? I'm not shining today. I am on a strike. Or you know what? I'll come up an hour later. I need to sleep in bed another hour. I am not. He does exactly what he's programmed. And we are created to have the challenges. That we do are moody, and we do things, and not always do we want to do things. And the challenge is that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, I want you to work. I want you to get close to me. I want you to overcome the obstacles in life. We're here for one reason, to overcome the obstacles. If life would be the same day every day, it would be. Even though we get annoyed, this is not working out, and this is not working out. But imagine every day would be the same thing. Imagine you would stay at your age the rest of your life. It would be very difficult. The Baruch Hashem made it this way, that we have always new challenges. The Chassidim were the ones who woke us up and said, don't neglect your relationship with Hashem. And it's very hard. It's very hard to have a relationship with Hashem. We could always say, Baruch Hashem, Yerz Hashem, but that means nothing. A person should wake up and say, wow, God is here. But it takes, I also know some days I feel so removed. Have a hard time relating to Hashem. It takes time. That's why the Tanya said that a person should meditate and think about the greatness of Hashem. Rav Nachum Bresler said, talk to Hashem. When you talk to Hashem, you make Hashem a reality. When you talk to Hashem, you say to Hashem, here I am, this is my life, and I need this. You know, the sweetest thing that Hashem hears from us is when we nudge him. You know, Rashi says, the Ovis did not have children, and they had to bother Hashem. Like, you know why? Hashem likes the idea that we need him. That's how he created the world. He could have created us not to need anything, but he created us, we need so much, we're such needy, you know, people use the word needy. Every one of us is so needy. From the second we wake up, we need a bed to sleep on, we need to use the facility, we need to shower, we need to eat, we need to sleep, we need to be married. I mean, we have so many needs. And Hashem made this, hopefully we'll connect ourselves to Hashem. So Hashem, you know what, it's Uhafti Kiyishma Hashem in Halal. David the Melech says, do you know when the Knesset Yisrael says, do you know when I'm loved? Do you know when God loves me? When I'm a nudge. You know, sometimes someone nudges you, you know, as a rabbi, something, or even, can I know a big family? If someone nudges me too much, it gets on your nerves. Hashem loves it when you nudge him. Imagine, every day you nudge him again, he says, wow, I like that. He likes it. He likes when we bother him, we daven to him. And mostly he likes when we ask him how to get closer to him. Imagine any one of us here, your spouse would come in and say to you, I would like to get closer to you. How can that happen? We will look at him. What? We'll melt. Imagine your husband or your wife would say that. Married a long time. You walk through the door. She says to you, I would like to get closer to you. I mean, when we dive into Hashem and we say, Hashem, I would love to get closer to you. I would love to be better related. I would love to dive in better. I love to love you, fear you, rely on you. That, what the Baruch Shalom is music. It's the sweetest thing that the Rav Nachman says, and it's hypothetical, it's just a marshal. It's like a king has too many things in front of him to take care, and when he hears these words, this is the most important. You know, I once told a 17-year-old boy, can't forget this story. He came home from yeshiva and was giving his mother such a hard time. Father begged me to speak to him. It was right before Pesach. And, you know, he's part of the members, so I spoke to him. And I speak to him, and I noticed that the problem was that his mother doesn't give him attention. His mother is busy with the girls. She has two daughters, and he's the boy, and she's busy, you know, being a mother for the girls and dressing them. And I said to him, why don't you go home and tell your mom, I need your attention. I never forget this. He told me, I'm not a wussy. And I'm not going to say this to my mom. And then I made a bet with him, and I convinced him. This was right before Pesach. He comes home, he tells his mother, you know, Ma, I need your attention. She looks at him, drops everything she has, takes him to all the side of town of Pico to the Milchige restaurant, I forgot which one it's called over there, and they eat lunch. This is the middle of the Pesach cleaning. I didn't think it would have such an effect. I just thought maybe things are going to calm down at home. I didn't expect that to happen. Well, which mother, a child says to the mama, I really want to get close to you. She says, what? You know, this boy who, you know, 17-year-old boys, what's going on? Nothing. Anyone has boys? And what happened in school? Nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. Finally, the boy says, ma, I need your attention. I want to talk to you. It's the same thing. If we say to Hashem, I want to get close to you, so that's the greatest music in his ears. That's why he created the earth. I mean, things that do on their own, they do what the sun does. The sun is predictable for the next million years. We could predict the sun when it's going to rise, when it's going to set. I cannot predict what I'll do in 10 minutes. I have a busy day. I cannot predict what's going to happen today. The next 10 minutes. How often, all of us, how often we say we're going to do this, and it comes and we didn't do it. So we can't even predict. The sun is predictable. You know why we can't make? Because we are challenged. This is our challenge in life. And the biggest thing that we could do to ourselves is get close to Hashem. This is what the tzaddikim really did. This is what Yosef HaTzadik represented, that you really, if the brothers would have listened to Yosef HaTzadik, and they would have been close to him, the gullus of Mitzrayim would have been not so bad. They would have said, wow, he is really the king. We have to respect him. Let's not rebel against him. Chazal say the entire gullus exile wouldn't have been so harsh. But since they missed the opportunity, just make things harsher, more difficult. So this is what we do need. We need to take time for yourself. You know, taking time for yourself, it's such a powerful thing for you emotionally. You know, people, I find that people who do yoga are much calmer. Just taking time, being alone. You should take time for yourself, turn the phone off, turn everything off. You and Hashem, try it for 20 minutes every day and talk to Hashem, even if you only could talk 3 minutes. Then say it again, and say it again in different ways. You and Hashem for 20 minutes. It is incredible powerful. What happens is God becomes a reality in your mind. It's not something that, you know, I believe in when someone asks me. It's part of your life. Part of the Golas, you know, Yosef, he noticed the 6 dreams that was going on. 2 dreams Yosef had, 2 dreams the Saramashkin, the Saroifin had, the one who was the one who gave to drink, in charge of the drinks for Paro, the wine, in charge of the baking. And this week's parasha, Paro had 2 dreams. And the reason everything came with the dreams of the Golas, living through life is a dream sometimes. Not talking about positive dream. Sometimes you feel, is this real? Is this really happening to me? Is this happening to me again? Sometimes we're like, what's this? In order to catch, you know, we shouldn't, because when we're not alert, it's sort of we're sleeping. You know, when a person is not alert, he's sort of half asleep. When a person is full of life, he's awake. And one time I was speaking in shul, and I tried to explain that, you know, being alert, how important it is. And sometimes people walk around for 2 weeks, and guy calls out in the back,